Morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at OffbeatOregon.com, and this is the Daily Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy it. Today we are doing part one of a two-part presentation of the story of Oregon's own answer to Joe Exotic, the star of Netflix's Tiger King show, Robert Feber, formerly of Siletz, Oregon. The grand finale will come in tomorrow's episode, in part two. Both episodes are drawn from a column titled Oregon's Tiger King Became Idaho's Problem, first published on October 1st of 2023. Here we go. On the evening of September 28th, 1995, Wonnie and Lori Peters of Lava Hot Springs, Idaho, were driving back to their home behind the local elementary school when they noticed something wasn't right. The first thing they noticed was the horses. They were confined in a corral in front of the house next to the trampoline, which their teenage kids were playing on. The kids seemed fine. The horses seemed terrified. They kept staring up at the hillside that ran along behind the house and the school. Inside the house, Wonnie got up on the balcony for a better view of what was bothering the horses. In the distance, on the hillside, he saw something. "A two-tone animal going through the trees," he recounted in an interview with Idaho Public Broadcasting. "And I told Lori, I said, there's an African lion in our backyard." Lori got on the phone and called 911. Wonnie got out his hunting rifle and started glassing the slope with his scope, looking for the 400-pound monster cat that he knew was lurking there.
"And then it stepped out from behind a dead cedar tree," Wonnie said. "And he was looking straight at me, and I was looking straight at him, and we were just eye to eye, and probably seemed like forever, but it was probably 5 minutes we eyeballed each other, and it was getting so dark, I told Lori to tell 911 that I have to take the shot."
Wonnie took the shot. The lion raced away up the hillside out of view and then tumbled back down into view again, dead. And thus ended the final episode in a drama that had started near Newport, Oregon nearly 30 years earlier, that today evokes memories of Tiger King, the Netflix series about rogue zookeeper Joe Exotic that got many of us through the early days of the pandemic. You could think of the events of that evening as the season finale of the last season of what was basically a three-season show. And what a finale it was. The lion Wonnie Peters shot was the last of 18 African lions killed after escaping from a ramshackle private zoo called Liger Town, owned by a pair of reclusive newcomers to the Lava Hot Springs community, Bob Feber and Dottie Martin. By the time Peters shot the last one, it had been over a week since the giant predators had slipped through the fence and fanned out across the landscape, terrifying everyone for miles around and causing local schools to be closed for the protection of the children. Those children were back in school on the day Peters shot the last lion. It was a Thursday. Presumably they had been playing in the schoolyard at recess just a few hours before. Presumably also the lion, which by that time had been at large for 4 or 5 days, was pretty hungry. All in all, it could have turned out a lot worse. Season one of the Oregon Tiger King drama was set decades earlier, hundreds of miles away, with a young man from Toledo, Oregon named Robert Feber purchasing a piece of country property near Siletz, just inland from Newport on the Oregon coast. That was in 1968. 3 years later, Robert acquired an American bison, which apparently whetted his appetite for large and exotic fauna. By the mid-1970s, he had added several African lions, a tiger, and a jaguar to his menagerie. At some point, he opened the place for tourists to visit, calling it Oregon Coast Safari. By 1978, he had 9 lions, as well as numerous other exotic animals. But in May of that year, Robert was working with a very young lion named Muhammad outside the family home. When he opened the front door, Muhammad darted in, raced upstairs, and jumped on the bed in which Robert's 11-year-old son Micah was sleeping. Before Robert could get to the scene, Muhammad had bitten off Micah's left ear and otherwise chewed him up pretty severely. Micah was raced to the nearest hospital in Toledo, and after 2 hours of surgery, he was listed in serious but stable condition. 2 hours of surgery. Serious but stable condition. This was a serious mauling. It is tempting to wonder, with a tip of the hat to the Tiger King show, if Fieber might have said something like Joe Exotic's famous line, "I am never gonna financially recover from this." If you missed the episode, Joe spoke that line after a near-fatal incident in which one of his big cats ripped an employee's arm off. But if he didn't, maybe he should have. The next time Fieber was arrested, part of his legal trouble was being behind on child support payments. So obviously by that time he was divorced and his wife had custody of Micah. Sources don't specify what caused the breakup of Fieber's marriage, but given how mothers usually react when their husbands let something like this happen to their babies, it is tempting to speculate. Later that same year, Fieber's bison spooked and bolted, breaking open one of the lion cages as it did, and five of Fieber's lions fanned out across the landscape to do some foraging and exploring. With the help of some neighbors and several sheriff's deputies, Fieber managed to corral the runaways. Two of them actually ended up roaming the streets of Siletz before they were recovered. After that, over the following few years, there was a steady drumbeat of rumored sightings of lions and tigers wandering around loose in the area. It's not clear whether these were all real incidents or just rumors. All the excitement of 1978 had made Fieber locally notorious. And so concludes Season 1. Now, Season 2 opens in 1984. By that year, Fieber had more than 75 animals, including several dozen lions and tigers and jaguars and wolves. He also had changed the name of his operation to Siletz Game Ranch. Most likely Oregon Coast Safari was too similar to the name of West Coast Game Park Safari, the walkthrough petting zoo near Bandon. West Coast Game Park Safari, if that name rings a bell, it's probably because there was a huge bust and it was shut down. Drugs, weapons, animal abuse, it was a bad deal. But anyway, in 1984, it was a going concern and not as mismanaged as it later became. That's another story, though. Back to our Tiger King. In September of 1984, law enforcement agencies and members of the Humane Society raided Fieber's compound in Siletz. Police seized several of Fieber's animals and charged him with several counts of animal neglect, saying the facilities were inadequate and the beasts were not being properly fed. Fieber hotly denied that he was abusing, neglecting, or starving his animals, but he accepted a deal that included pleading no contest to some of the charges and he was put on probation for 5 years. That would be important a year later, in 1985, when Fieber reopened Siletz Game Ranch as a drive-through zoo. The problem was, he didn't bother to secure a license for his operation, so he was operating it illegally, which was a probation violation. At the resulting hearing, Fieber admitted he didn't have the money to care for all the animals properly, which was obviously a big problem from the state's perspective, as well as, of course, from the animals' perspective, too. Also, a state inspector who had looked over the facility testified that the pens and fencing were inadequate. The inspector told the court that the fencing was bad enough to pose a, quote, security threat. The inspector's words, not mine. The court also learned that Fieber had tried to slip away to a new piece of land beyond the county court's jurisdiction, which he had secretly leased in Wasco County. He had already installed 13 lions and a tiger at his new place. Police figured this out when they pulled him over for a traffic violation and found a pair of lions sitting in the truck with him. This was another probation violation. He had agreed not to move any of the animals. Finally, in March 1986, the exasperated judge simply ordered Fieber to sell the animals and close down his operation. The judge told him that yes, the animals were in better condition and no longer supported a charge of animal neglect, but the pens and fences were still super janky and posed an obvious risk to the neighbors. And the judge further explained that she was ordering the animals to be sold specifically to prevent Fieber from simply folding his tent, sneaking away, and reopening his slipshod operation somewhere else, like he had tried to do in Wasco County. But, of course, that's exactly what he did. Metaphorically, if not literally, probably literally too, Fieber slipped away to Idaho in the middle of the night, taking as many lions and tigers with him as he could. Hearing dates came and went, warrants were issued for his arrest, but no one could find him. He had disappeared. He'd left behind 16 lions, 3 tigers, and several wolves and bison, along with a small herd of elk, and the state had to find homes for all of them. And that leads us to the third and final season of the Oregon Tiger King drama, the Ligertown part of the story. We'll talk about the Ligertown events in part 2 of this presentation of the Oregon Tiger King story tomorrow. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. Say, are you an audiobook listener? And do you enjoy old pre-war pulp stories like Tarzan of the Apes and Conan the Barbarian and The Call of Cthulhu and stuff like that? Or do you like early Victorian penny dreadful fiction like Sweeney Todd and Varney the Vampire and Highwayman Dick Turpin? If so, you might enjoy the audiobooks I have out there in the world. The easiest way to find them is for the search for my name on audible.com. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Episodes of Offbeat Oregon History are uploaded around 6 a.m. every weekday, so the next one will be on your device and ready to go before you know it. Until then, go out and fill up the rest of the day with good stuff. Bye now.